Our sermon text this morning is from Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to be reading verses 17 through 32. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 32. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way that you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth which is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for the building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you.
Let's pray. God of grace and mercy, so thankful we are today to gather as your people and to gather as those who know our sins to be forgiven in Jesus Christ. We pray today as we look at this text, as we think about the call that you give on our lives to walk under your lordship. We're so thankful that we don't do it alone, that we do it as a church body, and yet we also do it as those who have been helped and been changed and been made new creatures by your powerful Holy Spirit. And so today we come and pray that you would help us to see our own need of Christ as we look at your commandments, that we would agree that your ways are right, and sometimes we are in fact wrong and very wrong. And we do well to dwell on our own sin, even our present sin, that we might be thankful for Christ our Savior, and that we might be helped to lean on you to walk as you call us to walk. So help us now, open our eyes to your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Today we're going to mainly spend time on one verse, verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. I wonder what you think. Do you think that it's important that people tell the truth? It seems like a silly question almost. Most people would agree that the world would be a better place if everybody just told the truth, right? Do you agree with that? From a look at our advertisements, I'm not exactly sure that we want the full truth. Our advertisements like to say that if you used this product, you'd be, you know, better looking, right? You're just this product away from being that great athlete. You know, if you use our product, you'll be a great athlete. If you use our product, your dreams will come true. We want to believe it. We want to buy that product in the hope that what we don't have might actually make that difference for us. And so, in part, we actually appreciate a good delusion. You know, a good delusion that basically says you're just this one little bit away from, the fame, the notice that you were hoping everybody would finally notice you. We're just, you know, this one product away from that. And that speaks probably not only to our willingness to settle for something short of the truth, but also for our longing for something perhaps other than God as the main source of our ultimate satisfaction. Whether we think about it or not, I think when we don't think about it much, we think we're pretty honest people. And yet, if you spend much time thinking about it, you'll realize that sometimes you too are tempted, you know, to bend the truth. That's all we do. We don't really lie. We just bend the truth, right? We, you know, yes, I did pray for my church faithfully this week. Yes, I did read my Bible. Yeah, that's, you know, when asked, did you do that thing? Yes. I was just about to do that. I had an employee once when I was a manager, and in an uncanny way, I would always catch him when he was just about to do whatever, whether it was due tomorrow or due last week. I always caught him. He was just about to do that, right? Either incredible timing or a lie, right? Do we do this? Do we sometimes say, yes, you've been in my thoughts this week, and they weren't in your thoughts this week. Why do we do this? Well, our society trades on occasional truth, half-truth, and sometimes the exact opposite of truth. And what I want to ask, or have you think about yourself, what about you? Do you tell the truth? Why do you tell the truth? When you don't tell the truth, what's behind it? Why does God care about the truth? Why does He care if you speak the truth? Some things we want to consider today. It seems so simple, tell the truth. Why is it so hard for us? Well, today we're looking at, again, mainly verse 25. It begins with the word therefore, which of course means that it's connected to the verses before it. It continues a number of verses that speak of God's expectation for Christian living. If you're a Christian, you're supposed to live a particular way. You're supposed to live different than those around you. Right? And this section will handle many important things. It will talk about not being angry. We'll get to that soon, Lord willing. Not giving an occasion to sin, not stealing, but working hard with your hands. Forgiving others and several other matters about internal things that you might struggle with that come out in sins externally. So we have both internal and external sins in this section. In the theme, though, really is the lordship of God. There's a Lord. You know there's a Lord, right? If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, His claim is to be Lord. We live in a world where people don't want a Lord, don't want to have a Lord. And if you are a Christian, you've confessed there is in fact a Lord, and I mean to live as if He is my Lord. Right? So we have the lordship of God, and your Lord then has something to say about your mouth. So today we're going to talk just a little bit about your mouth. Actually, this is not even the hard, at least for me. Maybe I'm just revealing myself too much. But the harder one on the mouth is coming up in verse 29, but I just want to give you a preview because I think it's a helpful preview. And maybe like one of those verses you could like read at the end of a day and just think over what you said. It's probably could nearly devastate every day, but let's just read it anyway. I'm just going to, just to point ahead. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Isn't that devastating? Just review your words from yesterday. Were they all calculated to minister grace to those who hear? Well, we'll save that sermon for later. But what I want to direct our attention to today is this idea that the Lord says that we have to and we must tell the truth. And what we want to do is to, like we always do, make the gospel clear. So the first thing I have to say that we have to say when we talk about telling the truth is that telling the truth will not make you a Christian. We won't spend a lot of time on this because we've been spending time on this recently, but it's still important in our day and age. If you just decide today, I'm going to be a truth teller, that will not make you a Christian. Right? And the reason I say this is because so many people who are not Christians pride themselves on speaking the truth. I don't tell a lie. I'm an honest businessman. they will say. And somehow in the back of their mind, the fact that this is what they aim to be means that everything's okay between them and God because they've committed to be honest in their work and honest in their speech. And what we have to say here is the Bible nowhere says, well, if you always try to tell the truth, that makes you a Christian. The Bible nowhere teaches that. Now, the Bible does teach, if you are a Christian, and that's the basic point of this passage, if you are a Christian, you should commit to tell the truth. But the mere commitment to tell the truth, and even the attempt to practice it in your life, will not make you a Christian. Now, the reason we can see this is just really actually relatively plain in our text. Verse 25 says, we are members of one another. That phrase there at the end of that verse says, tell the truth. Why? Because you are members of one another. Well, what's this member talk all about? Well, you may remember that one of the things that Paul has been eager to teach us, the New Testament is eager to teach us, is that when you become a Christian, you become a member of Christ's body, right? Christ is the head of the church, and we are the members, right? So you might be a hand, you might be a foot, and this comes up in 1 Corinthians 12. I'll read a couple verses from Romans 12. Romans 12, 4 and 5 says, for as in one body we have many members, so the members do not all have the same function, so we, though we are members, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. You are all members of a body, right? Just like I have a body now and I have a hand and a foot, you are part of the body of Christ here at Stony Hill. That's the way the Bible talks about it. And it says, speak the truth to each other. Why? Because you already are members of one another. So let me just say what we don't see in this passage. It doesn't say, tell the truth. Why? So that you can become a member of the body. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say, tell the truth so that if you tell the truth, you will become a member. It doesn't say that at all. It says to people who have already become a Christian through Jesus Christ, you are a member, right? Already are. Now, as a member, speak the truth to the rest of the body. That's how this argument goes. That's how the verse is laid out. And so we see before, in a sense, the charge is, again, not to speak the truth so you can be a Christian, but God has made you a new person. And because he's made you a new person, act like a new person. Become what Christ has made you. You are part of the body. You are saved by Jesus. And so, again, as we this is important because we must proclaim the gospel, and we do well to tell our either truth-telling or lying neighbors that they're sinners, in danger of the wrath of God. And yet we also do well to make it clear to them that God is not just calling them to stop being so bad and start being better. That is clearly part of the message, but that's not the whole message. Because if it were true that you could be right with God by just being good, there would be no reason for Jesus to come. Jesus came to suffer your punishment in your place. And so again, we just come to this familiar idea that only Jesus can forgive our sins. And whether you've lived your whole life trying to lie your way to the top, or you've lived your whole life trying to be the honest businessman, the truth is you all have something in common. You fail pretty well in every area of sin, but you fail to always tell the truth. Just on that one thing, you fail to always tell the truth. Thereby, you need a Savior. And we point them then not to just do better, do better, do better, do better. If you do better, maybe you'll get to heaven. We don't say that message to them. We say, trust in Christ. There is one who told no lie in your place. Jesus never told a lie. Trust in his perfect truth-telling. Have his truth-telling be put on your account. And at the same time, have him suffering in your place be put on your account so that your sins can be washed away. We have to be clear about the gospel. We are not backing down in any way about whether or not people should keep lying. They shouldn't. We're just trying to be very clear. Jesus will save you. And Jesus, having saved you, now commit for the rest of your days to tell the truth. Right? But we're trying to put people on to Christ. And this is the most urgent call, perhaps even in our entire day, is to be as clear as we can on the gospel. So many people, especially in what we live in, what's called the Bible Belt, are confused about how a person is saved. And they're pretty sure that them trying to be good will do it. And we must counter that and say it is a lie of Satan to believe that you being good will make you right with God. And many people that we grew up with are trusting in their truthfulness and not trusting in Christ. We must urge them to show them the error of that way. So this is an urgent message, I believe, for our day. Well, having established that being a truth teller won't make you a Christian, let's just talk about another just sort of maybe perhaps obvious fact. Lots of people who aren't Christians do tell the truth, right? Lots of people tell the truth and commit to tell the truth, and that they're really not Christians. Some of you may be thinking, even as this verse says, put away falsehood, each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. I said, well, I know a lot of people who don't claim to be Christians who do this. So, you know, what's the deal here? What's the deal with this call to be good? And I want to say that, yes, I think there are many people who have committed, for one reason or another, to be truth-speaking. And again, I think biblically we would say that that is not going to save them. And so we might ask ourselves, well, why would they do that? Well, many, of course, were raised to do the right thing, right? A man always keeps his word, right? A gentleman never goes back on his promises, right? An honest woman has nothing to do with lies. And we could go on and on. We were raised better than that, weren't we? And in a sense, we should be thankful that we were raised better than that. And yet, being raised better than that, again, still doesn't make us a Christian. It doesn't demonstrate that we are, as a matter of fact, new creatures. It just means that we were raised enough to know that you ought to try to tell the truth and to not tell lies. But this is still short of saving faith. Besides, and one of the reasons why, and as we can't undergo every reason why an unbeliever would want to tell the truth, but it just leads to bad ends, right? Everybody knows this. I mean, it leads to, one of the ways it leads to bad ends is that you don't want to be a person of a questionable reputation, do you? Right? So this resonates with many people who aren't Christians. They say, well, I don't want to have a bad reputation in the community, especially, let's just say I'm a businessman. Let's say that I'm an auto repair man, right? And everybody knows that I lie and will say whatever it takes to make a lot of money. Would you bring your car to me? Even if I know how to fix the car better than most people, would you bring your car to me? If you knew there's a good likelihood that I was going to try to make an extra $500 telling you that such and such was broken when it really wasn't, right? So there are good reasons, even good business reasons, for people who don't fear God, but want to have a good reputation and a reputation in a community in which we were all raised better than to lie, and in a community in which you want your business to keep working. We have all kinds of reasons why people, not from a love for God, just out of a desire to, you know, be thought upright and to make a good living, will commit themselves to speak the truth. I'm not going to tell you something's broken on your car if it's not broken. I wouldn't do that to you, right? And this is truth keeping. It's committing to the truth, and yet it still falls short of Christian truth and what the Bible's speaking about in this text. So we could go on, right? There's almost no area of life in which, especially in business, where being a known liar is really going to help you. And so again, we can think of many reasons why, just for political gain, for whatever reason, you want to be known as an honest person. Well, others tell the truth because, what I want to highlight in this text then is that one of the things that this text is helping us to do is to make a connection between a commitment. So I'm trying to now make a distinction between how would a believer do this and how would an unbeliever do this. And what this text says that believers do that they don't expect unbelievers to do is to, just in the text, this is verse 25, to put away all falsehood. Right? So one of the things that distinguishes a Christian from a non-Christian is the fact that the Christian actually puts away all falsehood. Now, it's actually part of a package deal. The putting away all falsehood is actually, it's what happens because of what we've been talking about in the weeks prior. What did we say was happening in the weeks prior? Well, we said that you are no longer an old person, old self. You have a new self, right? You're not the old self anymore. You are a new self. You are a new creation. We've been highlighting, again, what we're pressing into at this point is what Jesus means when he says you must be born again. When Jesus says you must be born again, he's expecting that something new happens in you. We spent a fair bit of time on this last week, going through Romans 7, saying there's some part of you that's new, that wants to do what God says, and there's some part of you called the old self that still sort of wants to do wrong things, right? Well, the new self part of you is created, in verse 24, for righteousness and holiness. And what do people who are new creations, who pursue righteousness and holiness, what do they do with respect to truth? They put away all falsehood. They completely rule it out, just out of hand, completely. That's not an option for me. I have prioritized a love for God by which I'm not going to look circumstantially about whether or not this seems like a good thing or a favorable thing, but I'm if it's convenient to tell the truth, I'm committed to the truth. I've committed, in a sense, before I even get into a situation, I've committed that I will not be one who speaks falsely. I've just put away all falsehood. Now, at this point, what we're trying to work at just for a minute here is we're getting back to that king business that we started out with. Who's the king of your life? If you are not a Christian, if a person's not a Christian, I don't know what the most important thing in their life is. I don't know what it is, right? It could be any number of things. Could be any idol at all. It could be their career, right? So how would that look like then? If I was raised better, I was raised to speak truth, and yet I'm afraid that speaking the truth here will not get me that raise, then when I get into that interview, I'm going to misrepresent myself. I'm going to say I've got a better background than I did before. I was more important to my previous company than I said. I got better grades than I said that I had. Why? Because I have something more important to me than God. It's this career. You know, truth is up there, but there's something more important to me than God. It's that advancement. It's that pay raise because things are tied at the house right now. And so long as something supersedes, in this case, just truth, but ultimately it's any idol, anything that supersedes God, we've not committed ourselves to putting away falsehood. We've just decided to mostly not do falsehood unless it advances those things that are most important to us. Right? But what distinguishes then Christian truth-telling is that it flows from the new heart that loves God, and because they love God, they're committed to do God's ways, even if it will cost them in their career. Even if it will cost them, right? They won't get that job, right? I might not get that. If I tell the exact truth about what really happened in the last job, there's no way they're going to hire me, so I'm willing to do a calculated risk. I'm going to bend the truth a little bit. I'm going to get that new job. I've got to support the family. And the Lord speaks to us and says, put away all falsehood. Commit yourself to speak the truth in every situation, even the situations that it looks like this will cost you. Because your highest priority as a Christian is no longer your advancement, no longer your finances, no longer your nest egg. Your highest commitment is the Lord Himself. And out of a heart that loves the Lord Himself, most of all, we put truth in it. We commit ourselves to love what God loves in terms of loving truth, and we speak truth. Now, this is an essential part of Christian truth speaking. Being born again, right? This is what our text is leading us to. It's connecting the fact that if you're going to be a truth teller, you've got to be a Christian. If you want to really put away all falsehood, you've got to be born again. You have to have a change that the Lord does in you. The new man is there. And the new man is explaining why you choose to put Christ in his ways, even if it costs you in other areas. And we've moved now from not just talking about how unbelievers, I couldn't easily do this in my outline, so I've fully transitioned into point three. We're moving right along here. Into you have to speak truth like a Christian, right? So what we just talked about a few minutes ago is there are people who speak truth like an unbeliever, right? I'm going to speak truth because it's going to get my business somewhere. I'm going to speak truth because it gets me where I want to go. It serves a greater goal, right? And the text is calling you to speak truth like a Christian, and that becomes the greatest goal, is God himself, glorifying God, honoring him, not speaking the truth because your mama raised you better than that, though she may have, and praise the Lord for that. Not speaking truth because it's a good business plan. These are all sub-Christian ways of speaking the truth. God is calling for new heart, new change, a longing to honor God as God and to bring him glory as one who joyfully lives under his lordship, and calls us to speak the truth out of a love for the one who is ultimate, Christ himself. And this totally changes. So we're going to press in for a couple moments just before we finish here. Press in for a couple moments on how this text is arguing. We're going to try to bring a few things together. The text is basically saying, Christian, your primary identity is part of the body of Christ. And this has to be drilled down into your heart and into your soul for you to live like a Christian in this world, right? It's just such an interesting way that this text, and we're just going to go back to the phrase we began with. It doesn't say, right? I mean, just look how verse 25 begins and just say to yourself, how should this verse end? Or how do you think people would say this would end? Verse 25 again, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth to his neighbor. Why? Again, you were raised better than this. It's a good idea. It makes the world a better place. No. It roots it in the fact that this will be something that motivates you. It's going to say something that should be motivating to you. You are all members of one another. Like, this is supposed to make a difference to you, right? Does it make a difference to you? Does your part in the body of Christ so affect the way that you think about you and whether or not you'll do the right thing or the wrong thing, that it really will make a difference in whether or not you do that? Or do you just say, oh, I thought he was going to say I was going to go to hell. If it's just it's the body of Christ, I'm fine to tell a lie every now and again when I need it. So you see how we need the Lord to drive into our hearts the joy of our identity as part of the body of Christ. We've been taken out of the world, out of being the enemy of God, and we've been made part of Christ's own body, which means that I cannot tell a lie to you, or I must not tell a lie to you. It's an interesting analogy, even as we begin to think about this analogy a little bit. The idea then, as we think about it, is imagine if my brain would tell a lie to my hand, you know, with a fork in it, you know, who was about to bring food to my mouth. If my brain would tell a lie to my hand about where my open mouth was, you know, and I'd literally just kind of jab myself in the eye, like that would be detrimental, right, to me overall. I would not appreciate, even if the brain later on said it was a joke, right? It's a lie, right? And it's detrimental. And you must so think about what God has you here for in this church that you would not risk lying to another member of this church just because you might hurt their feelings. By the way, this is one of the hazards of telling the truth. You've got a really good friend. They just had something hurtful said to them. You agree that the person who said that hurtful thing, let's just say it's another person in the congregation. I'm not saying it happens in this church, but it happens in churches, so certainly it's got to happen here. Somebody said something. They're hurt. They said that I was a busybody gossip. Oh, I'm so sad, right? Well, now you might say, I like you. But if they really are a busybody gossip, you might still do well to not say, there's no foundation in this at all. You might do well to say, you know, the Lord may be, even though the person went about it the wrong way, saying something here that you may need to hear. Maybe another situation, someone's hurt over being challenged on their pride, challenged on their selfishness, challenged on their anger. And if we're going to speak the truth to each other, this is the other hard part about this, if we're going to speak the truth to each other, then sometimes I have to say to my friend that I say, I'm not going to stop loving you, and I'm not going to stop being your friend, but maybe you need to hear the truth that we can see this blind spot in you that is a sin. Right? So being a friend does not mean lying to your friend and saying there's no ground in this, you are as upright as the day is long, right? It won't do any good. That's not true of me, that I'm completely upright. So it would be appropriate at times to speak to me and to say, Pastor, you may not recognize this about you, but this. And I may not want to hear it, and yet it may still be appropriate. I don't want anybody to get carried away. I don't want the line to start at the back of the church where everyone lines up to tell the pastor on the way out the door. And I don't just mean about me. I just mean about everybody. We don't need the crusaders who go around and say, I specialize in finding your sin, and I would love to tell you about it. We need humble, compassionate gentleness as opportunities come up, as fits the occasion, verse 29, where we speak the truth. Well, we come to the end here. The end of this text, then, is we hope to be a clear idea that God is calling us to be truth tellers. He's calling us not to be truth tellers because it advances some goal different from God or above God or something we value more than God. He calls us first, we want to say, to Christ himself. It calls us first to go to Christ for a changed heart, for a confession of the sin of not giving Christ first place, for commitment to having Christ as first place and committing ourselves to just out of hand put away falsehood, and because it honors Christ, speak the truth. And if we get there, we must first just go to Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. So, right, having gone to Christ for forgiveness of our sins, having gone to Christ for a new heart, now out of a love for Christ, pursue truthfulness. Speak truth to each other. Speak truth to be spoken everywhere in here. We are all members of one another. We must not make some excuse why I can lie to you, or you can lie to me, or we can lie to our neighbors. But I have to hope we've seen this cannot happen without God's work in us. Right? Otherwise, we just keep the truth like a person with a hard heart to the Lord. What we need in this is God making us new creatures, creatures who are created in Christ Jesus for righteousness and holiness. And then next, we would just want to say, I want to encourage you with one last thought. Think about how when you tell the truth, and if we became a church that was known for truth, how this would adorn the gospel well as we go out and try to share the gospel with our neighbors. Now, maybe you don't know our neighbors well enough, but would you think, from what you do know, do you think that they think that we are people who speak the truth? Or even as Ephesians says elsewhere, speak the truth in love. Can they trust us? Are we known to be, as it were, a blessing in the community because we say what is right, we say what is true, we don't speak falsehood, we don't speak to build ourselves up, we wouldn't compromise in that way? Are we known in that way? And oh, if the Lord would just give us this commitment, a commitment to be true and always say what is right and always keep our promises and always stand by our word, if we could have that reputation in our community, how much, if that preceded us when we went to go talk to them, if that preceded us and then we said, let me tell you about Jesus, how much that would adorn the gospel in such a beautiful way that they may, in fact, be more open by God's help to hear their need of Jesus. This is not insignificant, an important part of our witness in our community. If we're not known as this, or if worse, we're known as the opposite of this, that itself may be one of those stumbling blocks that the Lord is meaning to show that's present among us, that needs to be confessed, repented of, turned from, so that it no longer serves as a hindrance, humanly speaking, to our neighbors who don't have Christ from coming to Christ. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Thank you, God, for your grace and mercy. Thank you so much for a day in which we can reflect on your greatness. We can reflect on the call that you have, the declaration you've made first of yourself as Lord, and the calling you've put on our life to submit to you and your commands in every way that you address us. Thank you for addressing us on our mouths and how we use our mouths. Thank you for helping us to see that we must, in fact, speak only the truth. And Lord God, help us to see and help us help drive it into our hearts, we pray, the need that we have for you to change us and to make us new creatures, for this to be a significant impulse in our lives. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.